yeah, that's a summary of how the show usually goes. This is Table Talk on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Good morning to you and welcome. Here's a, well, first of all, it's a gendered show. Yeah. So here we do conversations around women issues. We advocate for, you know, more women's rights and participation across board. That's what Table Talk does. And essentially, I help you to dig into the recesses of your mind and dig out those perceptions and opinions that you have and help you shatter them. That's why it's called Table Talk. I break it into pieces once and for all so you can get it over with. You're welcome to the show. You can join live right now on Facebook and YouTube. It's Nigeria Info 99.3. You find the video there. You can leave me your thoughts on the conversation as we go ahead. I'd love to read from you. I'd also like to read from you on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM. Use the hashtag Nigeria Info TT. TT for Table Talk. And also, apologize again, I cannot take your WhatsApp messages this morning, but we've got all of these other platforms to reach you on. You can be sure to also call 0700-993-993-993. Female callers 01-4657-190. As you might know, but if this is your first time introductions, the show is in two parts. You guys are calling. I'm not even started talking. I don't know. The show is in two parts. The first part is the appetizer, where I give you a breakdown of just how the weekend went down. And then we go straight off to the main dish, where we serve you the big conversation for today. If you're ready, I am. So let's go.
Here's the appetizer on Table Talk.
Yeah, so summarily, the appetizer from the weekend. Again, I had enough time to think about the women's advocacy, consistent protest, advocates for the gender bills and the outcome that we saw, and also the varying issues that Nigeria is facing, ASUU strike, and there are reports that ASUU might have extended that strike by another 2 months. We'll give you details in our bulletins. But these are big issues. The high cost of food items. I don't know about you, but man, it's giving me a big headache around here. Because I don't even understand. Like, you go buy something today, you go back the next week, and the price has gone higher. It keeps going up. Right? And I asked last week, I don't know how people who earn so little, how they get by. I don't know. I mean, even no matter what you earn right now, if your pocket is not shaking, you don't live in this country. So those are the thoughts I've had from the weekend. And I sincerely hope the Nigerians can begin to mount the right pressure, you know, on a government officials to begin to do the appropriate thing to help us all feel better, right? Thank you for listening to my TED Talk in a manner of saying, now let's go on to the main dish on Table Talk.
Now to the main dish on Table Talk. Table Talk.
All right, welcome again to the show. The main dish today is a big question that I have for you, and you can tell me how you think we can achieve this. And the question is a very simple one. How can we end violence against women in Nigeria? Today, I want to hear tips. I want to hear what you think and how you believe we can end violence against women. We're talking domestic violence, sexual violence, rape, and we can take a cue from the recent arrest of a BRT driver, Andrew Nice, for the alleged killing or involvement in the killing of a young lady, Bamise Anyanwola. Two ladies have also spoken out. We've had that in the news all day. One said the same person raped her in a BRT bus. Another said the man attempted to rape her in a BRT bus. Men and women face violence of various types, but the numbers are higher for women. The fear is bigger for women. Now, approximately one in every three women suffers domestic violence and intimate partner violence from the hands of those who claim to love them. If you follow me on social media, I put up a post over the weekend and I said, if you claim to love someone, there are certain words you should never use with them because it's an oxymoron. You can't love someone and you're doing the opposite to them and you yet claim to be in love with that person, whether a spouse, a child, a friend, you know, whoever. But I have a guest in the studio today to help me with this conversation. He's here from Warif. If you don't know Warif, I'll introduce them to you, or maybe I'll let him do the introductions. in full details. He's Okeola Rewaji Michael. He's a program officer, Women at Risk International Foundation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Emma.
Good to have you here.
Yes, good to have you.
Yeah, let's talk about violence against women. The first thought that people have is you raise your hand and you slap a woman. That's big. That's the physical kind of violence. So your organization, your shirt reads No Tolerance.
Yes, No Tolerance.
Yes. So tell me about physical violence against women and what you've seen in your organization. Then we'll talk about the different other forms of violence.
All right. Thank you for this opportunity. I want to say good morning to Nigerians. My name is Okeola Rewaji Michael. Women at Risk International Foundation, simply put, is WERIF, and it's essentially a non-profit organization that's set up with the sole aim to address the issue of sexual and gender-based violence, especially as it pertains to women and girls.
Mm.
So our focus is on women and girls in the various communities who have been raped, otherwise who have been sexually abused. And what we do is we provide free medical support to them in terms of forensic medical examination. We do psychosocial counseling. In some cases, we provide shelter for survivors who need to be removed or taken away from the environment of abuse.
Mm.
And in this regard, WERIF has been an establishment since 2016. And Dr. Kemi Da Silva Ibru has been very kind enough to ensure that we are committed to all of this without having to put the burden on the survivors.
Hmm.
Because one of the many reasons why this issue is prevalent or continues to prevail is the fact that when these things happen to people, there is what we call the culture of silence,
yeah,
where you're not able to come out to speak to the incidences that happen to you. And this has so much tied to it. One of the facts is that the person who is either abusing you is a family, is a friend, is a brother, or someone who is very close to you. And You will agree with me that sexual and gender-based violence, in most cases, we try to play it down because of the kind of society that we have.
Mm.
We have this mindset of patriarchy, where we believe that the man is more superior than the woman.
Yeah.
And in this regard, when a woman or a girl comes out to say, "This has happened to me," a lot of people just raise their voices,
yeah,
against it. And that's why we find out physical abuse is quite in the open and easily available everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, you see, you've touched on one of the tables I break every week, and that's men are not superior to women.
Absolutely.
All human beings were made, equally and the same based on the capacities that each person has. We've also touched on patriarchy, and we live in a highly patriarchal society, which is not also helped by our culture and religion.
True.
Boosting the fact that a man can slap a woman, if he believes that he's not well behaved, she's not well dressed, she's not well spoken, she didn't cook in time, there's a little more salt, the pepper's too much, or you just sneeze too hard, or you cough too much, you're just not well behaved. How dare you not be well behaved? You also said, we have a society, a culture that says, "Oh yeah, but it was just a slap."
Mm.
"Oh yeah, but he only beat you a little."
Yes.
But you were also wrong. If you were not wrong, he would not have beaten you.
True.
I remember that a lot of men are more muscular than women. I say a lot. I'm careful in choosing my words because there are women who beat up men also.
Absolutely.
Right? But today we're focusing on women. Now, in your work, you've talked about the culture of silence. What other things do you see that enables domestic violence in Nigeria? And do you have possible tips on how, based on the things you've seen at WERIF, we can begin to end violence against women?
Okay, so I'll just speak to a few. One of that would be financial abuse.
Mm-hmm. Now, louder, turn up the volume for the people at the back.
Yes, financial abuse is the situation where most women are at the mercy of the man.
Yeah.
And in cases where they have children, it becomes quite difficult. And in this regard, it goes a long way to say, "I want to leave the man," because a lot of women, in their mindset, they feel that the woman, their children are quite important, and they can't leave such children in the care of this kind of man who is a perpetrator, so to say. And because of that, they try to endure. Now, if most women are not empowered enough financially to do the things that they want to do, they're not empowered enough to take responsibilities as they should.
Mm.
Although you will agree with me that the trends are changing now.
Yeah, fast
changing. A lot of women are becoming more financially empowered.
Yeah.
But there is still that mindset with men. Perhaps our ego, perhaps the culture, the society where a man is supposed to be seen as the man.
Mm.
But it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it the perfect scenario. there are certain things that we need to let go, and we need to really see to the fact that how does this affect this other person? Mm. So putting ourselves in their shoes.
Another, a lot of people cannot do, they can't relate with what you are talking about. How can a man put himself in a woman?
So the reality is that we need to, like I said, we need a transformed mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Truth be told, there is no superiority in our gender. What makes us different is what actually makes us unique.
Yeah.
We are unique in bringing ourselves together to make things happen, make things work,
that's
make marriages
it.
Work,
yeah.
relationships
yeah.
work. But a lot of people have imbibed the culture from long ago that has refused to, they've refused to outgrow them, such that perhaps they've seen their parents
do the same thing.
So it's become a practice for them, and that is not the way to go in the future. The future that we anticipate is not the
that
past.
We are in.
So it's not the past.
Yeah,
a lot of things have changed. We need to understand that the woman is not just a tool. She's not just a machine. She's a flesh and blood,
complete human being.
She needs to be seen in that light, and we need to approach the situation, so to say, in that manner as well.
Yeah.
Another issue that actually makes this more prevalent is the fact that our law enforcement officers are, in most cases, not professional. When you report a case to them, you will agree with me, some of them just take it lackadaisically. They say things like,
what did you do?
Why did they not go rape you? See what you wear, see as you dress.
Hmm.
And when you talk like this, it makes the victim, or sorry, so to say, the survivor, feel depressed. They don't even want to talk about the situation because now they have come to a place where they think that they can get help, but what they get instead is shaming. They get faulted for their wrongs.
Yeah.
And truth in the reality is that rape is not a disease, but when you are unprofessional about how you handle them, you make the people who should get justice become the victim. And in most cases, you make the victim become people who roam about the society feel like they did nothing. And we play the place of power dynamics. Some people are more influential than the others. And when this happens, survivors tend to go quiet about the incidents and barely say things about it. The injustice takes a lot of time. For instance, you go to a court and you say you want to push for the case. Court adjourns and adjourns and adjourns. The survivor gets tired, the family gets tired, everybody just freaks out and says,
you keep going to court back and forth.
So it's not exciting, and as such, that's why we have all of these figures that we have up on them.
And the other people who also have issues like these, they're watching, you know, how does the wheel of justice grind.
True.
If it's pretty slow, they'll just rather go deal with their mental torment rather than add up going to court back and forth.
Absolutely.
And nothing happened. You know, interestingly, in my DMs, I have a lot of people. I refer them, you know, to various organizations, depending on what state they're in. There's someone who's talking to me writing about the abuse that she's facing.
Yeah.
And we see that this is prevalent, you know, in our society because of some of the issues that we've mentioned. Now, staying with the law enforcement agencies, when rape happens, there's a need to immediately get a medical report, right?
Correct.
To the hospital.
Yeah.
In many instances, be it for a girl, child, or an adult, the person wants to go report to the police.
Yes.
Let's say you've got torn clothes. I can imagine how someone who's been raped feels. I mean, it's a deprivation of your being. Someone has just messed up your total being.
True.
Right? If you go onto the police station and then they're keeping you standing there, assessing you like a specimen, you know. Now, let's talk about preservation of evidence. You know, I know that you take up these legal cases. Someone who's been raped, who's been a victim of rape, what are the steps that they should ultimately take immediately after it happens?
All right. First, you will admit that the incidence of rape is such that traumatizes the survivor.
Yeah.
And the first thing anybody wants to do is to clean up. Now, the survivor probably wants to take a shower. They don't feel pleased with their body system.
Yeah.
It seems like something odd has happened to them. Now, that distorts evidence. It's a difficult ask, but it's a standard practice. What the survivor needs to do is to go to a medical facility like WERIF. What we do at WERIF is that we take care of the survivor because we need to get evidence of specimens from this perpetrator, like the sperm or perhaps the air, because there are DNA evidences that we can hold on to now. Then once the survivor comes to the facility, we make sure that is done. But usually a lot of people want to go to the police station. Now you go there, it's not wrong, just to make a report. But if you meet a police, if you go to a police station that has what we call the gender unit, the gender unit is a unit that actually takes care of.
How many police stations have gender?
So units? Not all police stations have it. That's the challenge. And so if you go there, you only.
I think there's just one gender unit desk in Lagos.
No,
how many?
They have no. The majority of the police, some police stations have it, but the headquarters is in Police Command Ikeja.
So the other police stations, are the gender units functional?
Yes, they are functional. Oh. I can speak to that. They are functional. Okay. But it's just that not all the police stations have them. And the places where they have them, you know, when you speak to an expert, you know that, oh, this person is conscious. This one, this person is aware.
This is what this person is looking out for.
Yes, this is this person's office. And when you find such scenario, it makes the work easier. They know who to refer to. They know how to tell the survivors, okay, go to worry center or go to some center that takes responsibility for this. And when we get the evidences, you know, evidences are for court cases.
Yes.
But that is still subject to what the survivor or the family or the relatives want. Worry cannot instigate a survivor to push for a case. So as such, it is up to the survivor to say, I would like to push this case, get this person convicted. The family can say the same. If they say they want to push for the case, Warif can say, you can't push for this case because it is not in our place to stop a case from happening. Now, the reality there is, in some cases, a lot of people don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
So we are in the position we could persuade them. We could create an awareness, letting them, to make them know that you are open to this opportunity. You
push these are the options available.
Then what scares people mostly is that they feel everything comes at a cost.
Yeah.
Some people don't even want to go to the health facility because they know they will charge them. But for worry, if we do all of this free of charge, the services that we render, the medical care, the forensic medical examination, our psychosocial counseling, and all of that, we do all of that for free. So anyone who comes to the facility gets all of these services free of charge.
I'm sure that their ears are peaked now. If you've been wondering where to go to, I brought you where. This is where that has come here, right?
Yes.
Let me take a few calls. Another year with us. 0700-993-993-993. Female callers 0146-57190. Sorry about that. Please call again. You can also leave me your thoughts on Facebook and YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Sunday James on Facebook says, some women fall in the wrong hand because of their insatiable nature. What do you mean? What in God's name do you even mean? I don't know what that means. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, thank you for calling.
My name is Gloria from Lekki.
Please go ahead.
Yeah. I hope I'm on the...
Yes, please go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I want you people to help me wake up the governors, the ministers. I suppose I'm on a wake-up show.
You're calling Table Talk. I think you might have a wrong number. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning to your guests also.
Good morning.
Yeah. Sorry, the rates of, or the space of rape cases and all this ritual related that has to do with women is so alarming and disturbing. But you see, my own contribution or my own take here is just from what your guest has said. I think, number one, our criminal judicial system is a wobble. That's a fact. Then, secondly, talking about the police, of course, we know when it talks about the, what's it called, security agencies closest to people, so masses, it's police. But you see, another problem we have with people also is that police also, I mean, they see themselves as being... Majority of them see themselves as being disadvantaged. As a matter of fact, the system, the police system also, you know, has made some of them found themselves in this particular sector of organization as a disadvantage. I mean, there are this mental kind of, what's it called, disadvantage already that is with them. So none of them are actually happy with the job they are doing. Therefore, so when they see that kind of a thing that happen, you know, they don't have that feeling of that emotional feeling or morality.
No empathy.
You know, to come into it.
All right. Thank you very much. I need to go on a break on the show very shortly. I see your calls coming in. I'll come back to take them when we return. This is the Table Talk where we break tables. So, Lee, we're talking about ending violence against women. various forms of violence, economic violence, there's a financial violence, a physical violence, verbal abuse. We'll talk about that some more when we come back from the break. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. This is Table Talk. Don't go away. Join me again. What do we do?
Okay, so...
what do we do?
I think this is a trend that we need to break. And I'll put it this way. While we were growing up, if a home has a boy child and a girl child, the mother usually concentrates more on the female child, teaching her the chores, yeah, how to cook and all of that. But for the male child, they barely pay attention to them. They, yeah, think that because of the way they grew up, they would eventually become a man. So the man is the superior being. But we need to break that to really address what is happening now.
Yeah.
There is this bias. We have to break that bias. Mm. Let every parent train both child equally.
Yeah.
If a girl is washing the fish, let the boy be taking care of the pepper,
yeah,
peeling the vegetables or something, because the mindset that we grow up with is what we eventually become.
Mm, as adults.
It's a reality that is really impacting on us now. Everyone, mm, is feeling the brunt. Mm. A lot of women have grown up this way to think that the boy or the man is superior than them. Oh, mm, I can't say much. Oh, my marriage will be broken. Mm. Oh, what will people say about me? Oh, mm, all of these sentiments are the reasons why a lot of people stick or get stuck where they are. And if they don't take the step, you know, we can't really push people beyond their limit.
Yeah.
A man who is not broken cannot be helped. The only, mm, person you can give support to is the person who is willing to get the help. Some people say they have problems, they have issues, especially women and girls, but they don't want to leave their place of comfort because,
yeah,
they are afraid of the next reality. They don't know what is at the end of the other line.
Mm.
Everyone is cautious of what if, what if, what, mm, if. And it's because of this what ifs that they go through more pain, more grief. Some of them even lose their life.
Yeah,
and
unfortunately.
That's the painful part. And
so if a neighbor reports abuse, you know, possibly I note my neighbor's abusing his wife, whether physically, verbally, financially, but no, this woman is in need of help.
Yes.
Can wife step in? I mean, is there like a rescue mission operation? You know, get her out of there.
So
does that happen in reality?
Yes, in reality. So I would say this, in reality, WARIF is not just an organization that is happening behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
We are an organization that are actually taking the lead. We are doing so much as to ensure that we see a zero level of tolerance for abuse.
Mm.
However, when a report comes to us, we follow different approaches.
Mm.
One of which is, if an incident of rape is reported, for instance,
yeah,
we don't drive our buses or take our personnel directly to the facility. Why?
Mm-hmm.
There's something that we are very concerned about, is confidentiality.
Mm.
We don't want the survivor exposed.
Yeah.
They're going through a traumatic experience and we need to really
protect
address
them,
that.
Yeah.
We need the protection. So what we do in some cases, or most cases, is that our bosses go to wait at a particular point, a landmark. They take the survivor to that particular point where we can have a face-to-face, mm, encounter with them. We bring them down to the facility.
Mm.
In some cases, if the bosses are engaged, what we do is we use the regular car services.
Mm.
But we are sure that there is a guardian or a parent who is going with the survivor.
Mm.
When they come to our facility, they take them back in the same manner, such that it's not exposed to anybody.
So everyone on the street doesn't know,
what is happening.
Isn't wondering what's going on here.
No, so we do that first-hand engagement.
Okay.
And for survivors, I think that to a larger extent, when depending on the depth or level of their issues,
mm-hmm,
they might still have to be scheduled for counseling sessions,
mm,
and repeatedly we engage in all of this. So WARIF does this, and it's not a matter of pretense. We are not hypocritical about,
yeah,
it. We are not out for the publicity. We are really out for the impact, because I know that
that's what I love to hear.
The value of the life of the girl or the woman is more important,
yeah,
not the promotions that we get from it.
Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. Good morning, hello.
Hello, Welima.
Good morning.
What the rapier, the person that raped the person is a family member. See, each year I heard people talk about rape.
Yes.
I've been traumatized because I'm a victim. And the person in question is a family member. What do you think? The family will say, don't do this, don't do this. My expose. What do you do to such a case?
I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
And I think, oh dear, I'm so sorry.
Okay, so for cases around family members, it's very personal.
Mm.
And I must say that it's an absurd thing to hear.
Mm.
And these cases are quite rampant. They are more prevalent. The funniest truth is, some of the perpetrators who happen to be the father, the brother, the cousin, mm. or someone very close to them, in some cases are the ones who are bringing these girls and these women to the facility.
Mm.
So you'll be shocked to realize that you are trying to get information from the perpetrator and they are not saying anything.
Mm.
So it takes the expertise of our counselors to be able to say something isn't right.
Maybe you are even the perpetrator is bold enough to bring the victim.
Sometimes.
Why?
Because there is this mindset that you have. If you are evil oriented, if you are an evil genius, you want to take the attention away from you. So nobody would suspect that, oh, this person is showing care.
And when the victims keep seeing the perpetrator, of course they can't talk.
Because the point is, in some cases, they would have been threatened. Like
remember the societal stigma we also have. You have family members telling you, don't say that because it would affect not just you, but every... So when our children and cousins and they want to get married, they say, oh, that family where... So everyone wants to keep quiet.
That's what she just said now. And it's a major problem because, truth be told, how do you address that?
But can they get psychological support?
Yes, she can.
Please, I'll tell you how to get in touch. She appears really broken.
She's broken.
For her to call, I think it took a lot. And I'm sure there are a lot more people who are listening who are not making that call. We'll tell you how to get in touch with YREEF to get at least the psychological support that you need. That's really very important. Okay, let's go on to Facebook now. Do you really think I want to deal with this today? Why do we have a female-only line? I've answered that over and over and over again. I'm coming back to you. Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Put up your radio.
This is Mr. Magaji speaking from Aja.
Welcome, sir.
The case of the rape is very serious, and then I would like to advise that why can't human rights set a body that can be firstly intervened by helping the rapists, like to take them to the hospital and then to carry the case so that they will be firstly, because the case of the rape, when they take it to the court, it always take a long time before they can be able to sort it out. They'll say, bring this evidence, bring that, and then before you know, a person who has been raped, a family would be discouraged and then they will have to forget about it.
Yeah, in fact, the trauma is even multiplied. I mean, going to court back and forth is traumatic on its own. Please put off your radio.
Hello?
Put off your radio.
Good morning.
Put off your radio. Good morning.
Yeah, and the guests too. Anymore, it's not easy. This women, their husband are abusing at home. You know that right now I'm at home, but my daughter has to work. She has to work. I'm making that sacrifice for her so that she will go and work.
Okay, you live with her, with your daughter's family?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of this problem. So I have to pay for her to work because of all this abuse matter. So she's at work now, that she can earn her own money. So all those things were included in the insult and this and that. So I have to make the sacrifice for her. She's working now. The house is at peace. She's happy too. Everybody's happy. So you see, talking of that rape matter.
Yes.
One incident happened when I was in secondary school at Delta. That place to be precise. You know that this mother of the girl killed the four boys.
Did what?
She killed the four boys. One morning they all slept and never woke up.
Oh, the boys that raped her daughter?
Yes.
Ah.
She said she would kill them, and she killed them. We saw them. I was in secondary school then, because they were living in one room. They all slept and never woke up. They usually go to one secondary school that was close to us.
Whoa.
They all slept and never woke up. She killed the four boys for raping her daughter.
Whoa. That's quite a thing, though. Killing people is that one. I don't kill anybody, please. Because now you'll be charged for murder.
True.
Please don't kill someone. Good morning, hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, Mr. Wilmer.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
My name is Smith from Ikeja.
Welcome. Please go ahead.
Yeah, please, I want you to look into the case that happened in Anambra last weekend, where a woman was paraded naked by her husband's family. They said the man died, and native doctor informed them that the death of their brother was the result of the woman having affairs with another man outside, and this woman was paraded naked on Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm looking at it now. Ah, okay, yes. That's true. How did I miss that?
They collected her ATM card, withdraw her money, and...
You can be sure that these ones will not escape this. They can't. Thank you very much.
Anambra State Government are into it now. I think they are making some arrests now.
Yeah. I'm looking at it. Obiano's wife condemns the parade. In fact, the police have stepped in. Surely these ones are going. They're going to pay for this. Yeah. No, they can't. We'll see when the one the gods want to.
You don't take
it will first make mad. I mean, and they had to film it, and it's on social media. Did you think you're going to escape? That you strip someone naked? My goodness!
Wow!
I don't get it. Good morning. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
All right. Put your radio and call again. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
My name is Mr. Felix.
Okay. Please go ahead.
That issue, this last caller just reported now. Actually, what they said happened was that the man was having sex with the wife, and he died. You can be sure that is a case of cardiac arrest. Maybe had a high blood pressure. When you look at the picture, when you look at the pictures, who was those leading the rampage against women? Fellow women. That's the issue. That's the question. They were the one that naked the woman. Fellow women like them. So when you talk about gender violence, the one women do to themselves is worse than the one men do to women.
You're right.
So only God that will help us.
You're right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Women are also enforcers of patriarchy.
True.
I mean, we talked about stereotyping when women were also raised to believe that women are supposed to be less. Yes. So any woman who attempts to be more, some women would bring cut you back, quote unquote. They want to cut you back to size because you're overreaching. I agree with you. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
I can hear you. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
And I appreciate him for everything he has said. And I appreciate the last caller.
Yeah.
You understand? Women, they are enabler. You understand? Women are enabler. And it is high time, too. We need to start talking to the boy child and the girl child as well.
Yeah.
They are equal. What makes them special in their own way is just their gift. I keep saying it, whatever I call. The only difference between, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
The only difference between a man and a woman is the physical strength the man possesses, and it's not general. You understand? Because the most ridiculous thing I've ever had in my life, and I keep hearing, when a man and a woman living in the same house, married people have issues, the man will say, I'll send you to your father's house.
As in,
how come? Both of you own the home.
I mean,
I'll send you. Then, so a lot of women, 90%, we support what the men are saying.
You understand?
It doesn't make any sense. We need to start bringing the boy child in different ways. If you're hungry, go to the kitchen.
Fix yourself something to eat. It's a survivor skill.
Now, I remember when I was 16, 17, I was cooking. Now I'm lazy. But it's nobody's right to tell a particular gender to cook is never done anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Look at the best cook in the world. They are even men.
They are men.
Yeah.
So let's get things straight.
You're right. Most of the well-known, thank you very much. Most of the popular chefs that you think of, most of them are men. Yeah, cooking is a life skill. I mean, it's a survival skill. If you don't eat, you will die. So you should eat. And if you have a mouth to eat, you should, and God gave you hands, you make something to eat. Even animals go get something to eat. It's commonsensical that you fix yourself something to eat. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for calling. Hello. Good morning. Sorry about that. One more here. Hello. Why is it all dropping off? I'm looking at that video right now. In fact, it was even in news bulletins. Our report was a man who died from too much sex. So I don't know why they're tying this on the woman. And they're making a... Look at that. There's a crowd of men looking at her nakedness.
That's another thing with the social media.
Yeah.
Hello.
Good morning. Hello.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, what we have to do is to enlighten these children from the primary. Because when they are in the primary, the boys and girls are there. Even when they are at girls' school, the NGO should go there, especially inform the boy that the penalty of sexual abuse against women is recorded over men. That is what God said. So if you look at the book of Hosea, chapter 4, verse 14, it plainly explains it here, that the prostitution of women is the man God will accuse of.
Hmm?
Yes. Read it now. And then, as regards to women, against women, as the devil used men, so he used women to incite women, even women hypotonize women, and invite men.
Okay, the network is gone off. But you totally threw me. Okay, I'm trying to read that place and try to understand what you're talking about.
So like she was saying, for sensitization of
younger ones,
like where we ask various initiatives that we run, the one we hold very high is what we call the Boys Conversation Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
We do this for secondary school boys where we try to change their mindset to help them think of themselves as protectors rather than perpetrators. We also seize the opportunity to encourage or empower young boys, young men in tertiary institutions to understand the concept of rape, and as against the patriarchal practice, come to realize that we are in a developed society. Things need to be addressed differently.
Right.
We don't need to see the female gender as something very little or something very off, and make ourselves feel superior. So we have this Boys Conversation Cafe where we talk consistently about this practice. Like I said, awareness and sensitization is
very important. Very, very important. Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wemimo.
Yes, sir. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Emmanuel.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Oh, good one for the guests at the studio.
Good morning.
I want to just quickly go into this rape of a thing.
Yes, please.
You see, my dear, the Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This thing has to be done in our religion aspect. As in our religion aspect, if we're able to religion go by the Muslim, by the Christendom and the rest, we should preach this in the church and mosque. That is one aspect that we should, when you have the fear of God, you can't go by raping somebody. Then that is one. Two, the type of penalties that are being attached to these crimes. If you put a rape offense to be a death sentence, then you see many people will be running away. And our judicial system, whom immediately this is done, the judgment should be done immediately.
Thank you very much. Quick justice. And I think one of the amendments in the constitution that the lawmakers considered, one of them is looking at giving timeline for court cases.
Yes.
So that cases are not dragging for long. That should make you excited.
It makes our work easier.
Easier.
Because once people are convicted for the offenses they commit, it sends a message to other perpetrators that we don't have to do this. And like you mentioned, we have Gatekeepers Project, where we engage law enforcement officers, including the Nigerian Police and Nigerian Security and Civil Defense Corps. We engage religious leaders. So far, we've been to Nasfat and we've been to MICA, Movement for Islamic Culture and Awareness, where we train imams, sheikhs, as religious leaders to know that they have a major role to play. Most of their congregation, these perpetrators identify with either of these congregations. We train pastors as well. We go to we engage PFN, Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria. We engage the white garment churches that they call the Organization of African Instituted Churches, where the leaders are brought to consciousness. Some of these incidences don't just happen in schools, they happen in religious houses. Some perpetrators are even law enforcement officers. So as a result, our Gatekeepers Project addresses this with stringent rules stating clearly it's life imprisonment for a perpetrator of rape. And it's not questionable. But when the judicial system is not playing their part, that's where we have issues. But once there is a timeline to it, I think that it will put some sanity into our society. A lot of perpetrators or intended perpetrators will know that this is not the way to go.
Justice needs to also be seen and perceived. I mean, it needs to be seen and perceived. I'm on Twitter now. Oh, gosh, look at the phone line. Stanford Andrews, how do you resolve issues around women who are the architects of some of the violent issues meted against them? For instance, violent use of words, dragging and tearing up the husband's clothes, or harassing mode of dressing. He puts a picture of what he describes as an harassing mode of dressing. This person is wearing a bodysuit.
Okay.
She's looking really fresh and pretty in a pinky.
I can imagine that.
And for him, this is harassing. Close your eyes. That's what you do. But let's talk about, I definitely read this message. So he's mentioned an issue about some women who also harass their husbands. You know, you not go anywhere. Kimmy, you have to beat me today. You're holding the man's clothes. You're tearing up his clothes. And then the man beats you. Both of them are violent.
True.
In these cases, how do you manage this?
Okay, so let me quickly speak to this. I'm about to say something that's very controversial. What a woman is putting on is not a prerequisite for you to rape.
It's none of your business. Just close your eyes and walk.
What she's wearing is what she feels comfortable with wearing.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't speak to the place of morality. That is another extreme in itself. But in reality, anybody who wants to rape already has the intent to carry out that act.
People have been raped in hijab.
Babies have been raped in diapers.
Babies have been raped.
So yeah. I don't know if it's the diapers that makes it exciting for you to want to rape them. But aside that, when you speak to the issue of harassment in marriage, a woman trying to get to the husband, and the only way she thinks she can send the message is to grab his shirt, tear his outfit. Well, this comes to the place of personal, where the person needs to address character values.
Yeah.
Now, truth be told, Christians do this, Muslims do this. So is it because they are Muslims or they are Christians that they practice this? Of course not. These are individual exhibitions of personal characteristics. And one thing that can help with this is patience. For most men, we do not have a choice. Knowing full well that if you make any attempt, the society will flag the fact that you hit her first. Otherwise, why did you do that?
Maybe because it's easier for the man to hurt the woman, it might be stronger. But I think that in the case where a woman is also violent, it's a red flag. When some men tell me, oh, but the woman is abusive, my first question is, why did you marry an abusive person? Because for every human being, you should be respectful, male or female.
Absolutely. Yeah,
even a female, if you're listening to me, I'm not on your side. Hello? If you're an abusive woman, you're a violent woman, if the man reports you, I will see to it that you're also prosecuted.
But you know, Boy Mimo, the truth is, you ask the question, why would the person marry an abusive person?
Yeah.
For some people, they might not see it as very obvious as such.
Yeah.
However, in marriage, certain qualities or characteristics begin to express themselves.
Over time.
Now, what do we do about it? There's a place for conversation.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our flaws, our wrongs, our errors. I've seen you do this and I don't appreciate it. Obviously, there are some people who would not hear, either the man or the woman, but consistency of it. Each of us has people that we are accountable to. And I'm not saying expose your marriage. I'm saying speak to people that are credible, people that can actually provide adequate support for you in this regards. And with that, I think that we can resolve this amicably without resulting to violence that can actually lead to death and unexpected death. So
I have boys, and one of the things I teach them is that forget cartoons, people die. Bones break. That's what I tell them. I say bones break, people die. It's a cartoon that you fall from the top story and you land on the floor and get up as if nothing happened. So I teach them to keep their hands to yourself. And every human, oh my goodness, look at the phone lines. But I need to go because my time is up. Time is gone. We need to tell them where to find Warif. Let's do that in the last minute.
Okay, so I'll just say that for Warif Center, the Warif Rape Crisis Center is located at number 6 Thornton Street off Thurburn Avenue. So the easiest landmark to identify is it's just behind Ozone Cinemas in Yaba. So if you want to reach out to us, like the woman who called earlier, you don't necessarily need to come to the facility. You can call the toll-free upline 0800-9210-0009.
Say that again. They just got their phones and pen. Let's say it slowly now.
Okay. 0800-9210-0009.
That's social media?
Social media. For Facebook, we are on Warif NG.
Okay.
So once you see Warif NG, you see Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Warif_NG.
If you miss any of those details, send me a message. on DM. I'll link you up with them. Some of you are already waiting in the DM. I'll just link you up directly. Right, now that they're here today, I have cases to pass up to you. Thank you all, guys. That's the show today. I'll see you tomorrow at 5 a.m. Table Talk is back next week, Monday. Next week, Monday, I want to ask women questions about why they're not contesting. Mm. We're advocating for spaces for you, but where are you? Why are you not showing up? That's next week, Monday, by 9. My name is Wemimo Adewuni. The techers are here after the news on the hour at 10. Have a fantastic day. Goodbye.